जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जाना वाला भागिरे बरधारी गोपी जाना वाला भागिरे बरधारी Yasoda Nandana Bradadana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Bradadana Ranjana Yamunatira Banachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jayo Prabhupada, 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 Jayo Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jayo, Jayo Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, Harinam Sankirtan Yajna ki, Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, 18th chapter, text number 72, The Perfection of Renunciation.
Kacchidettat shrutam parta tvayai kagre no cetasa kacchid agyana sammoha pranashtaste dananjaya. Kacchit,
whether,
etat,
this,
shrutam,
heard,
parta,
O son of Prita,
tvaya,
by you,
eka agrena,
with full attention,
cetasa,
by the mind,
kacchit,
whether,
agyana,
of ignorance,
sammoha,
the illusion,
pranastaha,
dispelled,
te,
of you,
Dananjaya,
O conqueror of wealth,
Arjuna.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O son of Prita, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? Purport. The Lord was acting as the spiritual master of Arjuna. Therefore, it was His duty to inquire from Arjuna whether he understood the whole Bhagavad Gita in its proper perspective. If not, the Lord was ready to re-explain any point or the whole Bhagavad Gita, if so required. Actually, anyone who hears Bhagavad Gita from a bona fide spiritual master like Krishna or his representative will find that all his ignorance is dispelled. Bhagavad Gita is not an ordinary book written by a poet or fiction writer. It is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Any person fortunate enough to hear these teachings from Krishna or from his bona fide spiritual representative is sure to become a liberated person and get out of the darkness of ignorance.
Kacchidetat shrutam parta tvayakya grena cetasa kacchidagyana sammoha pranashtaste dananjaya.
O son of Prita, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled?
Om agyana timarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa gadamayam dadati svapadantikam jayasi krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhara sivasri gaura bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim, yat kripadam aham vande sri guru dinataranam, paramananda madhavam si chitanyeshwaram, vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha, Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. We're very happy and fortunate to be back here after a short absence in New Ramanreti at the lotus feet of Shishi Radha Shyamasundar, Shishi Krishna Balaram, and Shishi Gornitai, Srila Prabhupada, in the association of all the Vaishnavas. We're feeling very inadequate. The blessings of Maharaj and all of you, mostly my seniors, we like to speak something useful. This is the grand finale. This is the last verse that Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita. And it is very interesting how the battle is just about to start, but he's telling Arjuna, In other words, if you don't understand fully, I'm ready to explain the whole thing again to you. Or in plain English, this is very important. Did you pay attention? Did you actually understand the topics that I just spoke to you? In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that this is the duty of a teacher to make sure that his student understands and to be ready to explain it at great length till the student understands it. Now, when I hear Srila Prabhupada's room conversations or his morning walks and he's explaining, you're not this body, you're a spirit soul, over and over and over again, with sheerless patience and compassion, it is very astounding how Srila Prabhupada kept on making the fundamental points of Krishna consciousness in such an attractive and such a sublime way that nobody felt it was something simple or something unessential. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, and Arjuna means all of us, because we are all in the position of Arjuna. To have an attentive mind means to know that this text is relevant to me, that there is actually a connection. This is being spoken to me. It's not just some story, some poetry, or some allegory that has been written down by some smart people. Very often, when we go on preaching engagements, people who are new to this Krishna consciousness, their first question is, what's in it for me? Like, what's the relationship to me? What is the connection for myself? So, Bhagavad Gita is dealing with so many topics that are actually very relevant. Just like we're here in this world and we're suffering. Things are not going the way we planned them. Does this ever happen to you? Did you make plans and they don't work out? Like, you thought it's going to be a nice Sunday and you're going to have a good time outside, and all of a sudden rainy season has arrived. Of course you're used to it, but still the mind gets a little upset. Why? Because our expectations are different from the reality. And this creates a great sense of dissatisfaction. So how to make the topic relevant to the audience means to speak things that are actually important, that are actually concerning that person's situation. Just like sometimes people don't know, why should I take this book? Why is this book important to me? So I tell them, or we tell them, that this book is about a person who had problems in his job. Does that sound familiar to you? Did you ever have problems in your job? One of my best friends picked me up from the airport yesterday night, and he told me how he, just when his new baby girl was born, just before that, his boss fired him at his job. And it was not a good combination, to say the least. And it creates anxiety. So we all had that experience of having job problems. This book is about a man who had problems with his family. Does this ever happen to you? Did you have kind of differences of opinion? You know, you like them, but at the same time, not exactly. Huh? This book is about a man who had problems with himself. Does this ever happen to you? Did you have so many options and you're not sure which option is the right option, and there's just, you're torn, not just in half, but you're torn in many pieces because there's many options nowadays. Because life isn't simple anymore. Life is complicated. So you have many options to choose from. So by that time, the person pays attention because the person feels, yeah, you go on talking, you know? It's like, okay, you got my attention. All right, now what's coming next? So then what he did was he asked his best friend for advice. Now, he was very fortunate because his best friend happened to be God, Krishna, the Supreme Personality Godhead. Most of us were probably not in that position. And he presented his problem in front of his friend. And when he got advice, he really paid attention. He was really attentive. And what did his friend tell him? He didn't tell him to change his job. He didn't tell him to change his fashion or his hairstyle or his family. No. He told him that he needs to change his heart. He needs to change his attitude. He needs to change his consciousness. The way how he sees the world, the way how he sees himself, and the way how he sees all things in this world. And that's exactly what he did. And he went out and he became highly successful. Would you like to take this book? And the only question the person has is how much? I was in Bombay about to board the flight, and an American businessman was standing right behind me, and he looked at me with this kind of sarcastic, disdainful look that cannot be imitated, but I'm sure you can imagine. Looking at me, at my clothes, and going like, what is this, you know? Are you trying to be a monk? I mean, at least the immigration officer last night was polite, you know, like he went through the whole routine, like, who pays your bills? And I said, God. And he says, does he hand you a check? I said, no, but, you know, he feeds me and he puts me up. Okay, so the temple looks after you. So where is your ponytail? Okay, turn around, you know. So you do the whole routine, you know. And then it's, okay, Hare Krishna. Welcome to Florida, you know. And off you go. So he asked me, are you trying to be a monk? Because often, you know, we go out and we tell people I'm a monk, and people look at you and they go, nah, I don't believe you that you're a monk. So, but that's a different topic. We won't get into that. So he said, are you trying to be a monk? And I said, yes, I'm trying since 30 years. So it made him chuckle. It made him smile a little bit. And I just took Bhagavad Gita out of my bag. And then I saw the lady at the gate was picking up the microphone to announce the flight. So I know I have 3 seconds to give this person this Bhagavad Gita, because after that it's go-go time. There's no stopping. Once the cattle moves, you know, you can't stop. So I just put the book in his hand and says, it's all explained here in this book. You please read this. This will be very good for you. And he was just flabbergasted at I just handed this big book to him and just said, this is for you. Take it. It's all explained in here. And he said, well, thank you. You know, there's that little silence and that little moment of truth. You know, that moment that we look for. That moment like where you feel like, yeah, this is it. This is why I went out in the rain to Disney today and talk to the people, you know, on the parking lot. And they look at me like I'm an alien, you know, somewhere from Mars or something. I mean, we want Mickey Mouse, and now we got what, you know? So, and I told him, usually, he said, well, can I give you anything? I said, no, usually we don't take anything. But with you, I'll make an exception. So, he said, well, what can I give you? I said, well, some people give their whole life, you know? So if you like to surrender, I mean, that's part of this teaching also. Then that's just a few verses ago, you know? That if you can't do that, just give 1 million. Or whatever you like. And he gave 1,000 rupees, $20, adequate. And then we boarded the flight. Srila Prabhupada was so patient. He was so compassionate. He was in Vrindavan, and he felt our pain, and that's why he left Vrindavan and went to the West and all over the world to spread Krishna consciousness. And he had a plan. On his pamphlet, he already printed 60 volumes of elaborate English commentary. Now all he had was 3 books, first canto in 3 books. And he was taking a cargo ship to New York. And he wrote on the bottom, all over the world. So he knew, I'll start in New York, and after that, I'll go everywhere. So Srila Prabhupada had this desire that I want to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere at once. I think there is some place for us in that desire of Srila Prabhupada to take part in his preaching mission. The first person who I met yesterday when I stepped off the plane was the usher who was moving us into lanes to go through immigration. And he went,
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You know, I went to Hare Krishna in Coconut Grove and to Hare Krishna in Rio and in Sao Paulo and to Hare Krishna here and Hare Krishna there. And I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you, devotees, for doing the preaching, because you make life so much more bearable. You make it so much more exciting. Why? Because wherever you go, you know Prabhupada already was there. Prabhupada already was there. He already did the austerity. All we have to do is follow in the footsteps. We were up in Rishikesh and there was a preaching program at Shivananda Ashram, Divine Life Society, one of the most successful movements in Rishikesh, at least in the past. And in the Samadhi Mandir of Shivananda, in the sacred space for them, we had a program, and Srila Radhanath Maharaj was invited to speak. And it was scheduled to start at 7, and it started at 8:15 in the evening, as usual. And then they started chanting Sanskrit invocations, and they were chanting shlokas for 45 minutes. They chanted the entire 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the entire 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, from memory. Ongoing, non-stop. And I was like, wow, that's nice, but I would like to hear Maharaj speak now. And it didn't stop. And after 45 minutes, they stopped. And I thought, okay, now comes the talk. No. First, the acharya has to speak, the oldest person in the room. And he... started speaking, and he said, in 1969, I was in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, and Bhaktivedanta Swami made all the hippies and drug addicts chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And he went into ecstasy. He just completely lost it. He just by remembering Prabhupada in Ratha Yatra in San Francisco. Now you have to know, that place is hardcore. They all know Sanskrit. They're all very orthodox, very staunch, very traditional people. And then he said he went to New Brindavan and he saw Srila Prabhupada's Palace of Gold. And he met Radhanath Maharaj and the other devotees there, and he became very inspired. And then he asked Maharaj to speak on the third verse of Shikshastakam, Trinadapi Suniche Na, which Maharaj did, and he spoke on the story of Kolavecha Sridhar and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how Sridhar only wanted one blessing from Mahaprabhu, and that was to be allowed to supply him bananas, leaves, and flowers wherever he would appear. That was the only blessing he wanted. And I was watching, because that's what Sankirtan devotees do. You watch the people, right? You just observe, because that's it comes with the territory. So I was just watching the crowd, and there was 20 sannyasis and about 150 people in the room. And the sannyasis were all looking very serious and very staunch and very sober, in perfect Padmasan, looking very distinguished. And I was just observing their facial expressions as Maharaj was telling the story of Kolavecha Sridhar. And I could see how some of them started smiling, some of them started chuckling, some of them started rolling on the ground, and some of them were just melted in a puddle. They were just gone. They're just so affected by Sridhar's affection and his devotion and his humility towards Lord Chaitanya. And I realized that every metal has a melting point. And every person has a melting point also. You can be a staunch Mayavadi. You can be a sannyasi. You can be whoever you are, a scholar, a scientist. If you get affected with concentrated doses of Krishna consciousness, your heart will melt. I met a lady in Aarhus, Denmark, just a few days ago. And when I stopped her on the bicycle, she almost fell off her bicycle. And she got down and she said to me, "I have to tell you something, but you won't believe me." She said, "I'm from Hollywood, California. And in 1969, my best friend, she asked me to go to LA to see the Swami." So they went there, young girls. And she said the Swami was coming and we were throwing rose petals. And then we bowed down. And he was walking over the rose petals. And then we collected the rose petals. And I still kept them. I still have them today. And she had this. She was beaming. Now that's 45 years after she met Prabhupada. That's pretty much the only interaction that she had. After that, she bought books and she offered me her bread. She offered me her vegetables. She offered me her fruit. Whatever she had, she offered it to me. Why? Because she was affected by Prabhupada's compassion, by Prabhupada's mercy. No. The leader of the Swaminarayan group, Pramukh Maharaj, he went in the 80s to New Vrindavan and he saw Prabhupada's palace of gold. And you know what his statement was when he got back to India? "We're going to build temples exactly like Prabhupada's palace of gold." You know why we know this? Because the same architects, the same people, just built Water Farm Temple. And they told us that that was his conclusion when he saw Prabhupada's palace. So Srila Prabhupada is affecting people's lives all over the world in a very massive way. And we can be part of that. We can take part in that by actively participating. Now, the last few times that I met my spiritual master, I was in his room, I was doing service for him, and I had the expectation of getting some sort of acknowledgement, some sort of reciprocation, at least a look, right? At least a smile, at least a few words or something. But just, it didn't happen. It just didn't come. So my mind grew kind of restless, impatient, which is my nature. So was starting to churn. What is wrong here? Did I commit any offense? Why is he trying to avoid me? I mean, you know, I'm your disciple. I got some emotional needs here, you know. So, you know, like, work with me, people, okay? You know, like, you're my guru, I'm your disciple, and, you know, we got a thing here. So I'm doing my part. You're supposed to do your part. Nothing. Zip. Nada. Niet. Nichts. No interaction. And I was in distress. And after a while of all of that emotional turmoil, some very deep level of satisfaction overwhelmed me, came up in my heart. A very profound joy. And I realized, this is good. This is wonderful. This is actually beautiful. Finally, I had made the transition from being a spectator to being a participator. I had been accepted as a servant. You do not need to entertain a servant. You don't have to make nice drama and show and kind of socialize with the servant. Why? Because the servant is not insecure. A servant knows his position. He knows he's empowered to carry out the order of his master. You have servants run entire companies on behalf of their master. Now we have a lot of people who come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement. And it is up to us whether we treat them as spectators or we allow them to become participators. It's entirely up to us. If we treat them as spectators, they will stay spectators. But if we help them to become participators, they will become participators. They will dedicate themselves to this cause. I was taking a flight from Dublin to Heathrow, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder. It was an 82-year-old man from England who just buried his youngest brother in Ireland. And he said, "Excuse me, young man, what you're reading there, is that Hindi or Sanskrit? I'm sorry that I'm interrupting your study." And we had a little chat, and I gave him a small book. I believe it's Ishopanishad. And he said that he's devout Christian and is following the teachings, but he was very appreciative, very nice gentleman. Then he said, "Yes, I would like to give you something, but it won't be very much." And he gave me £20. It's like $30 for a little small book. He considered it not very much. Now, if I would not have read Prabhupada's books, he would not tap me on my shoulder. If I would pick up, you know, the Herald Tribune's international edition for the, you know, for the frequent travelers, then he would not tap me on my shoulder and ask me, "My dear sir, is that the Herald Tribune's or is that the Sunday Times?" No, he wouldn't, because he wouldn't be amused or, you know, intrigued in any way. So we got to have the books and we got to pick up the books and read the books. And people will come and ask, "Hey, what is that?" I took a flight from Heathrow to Munich. I'm sorry, I'm still in midair, you know. I just got in, and for me it's midnight now, so I give you a little flight, you know, recap. Flew to Munich, and there was a businessman, three-piece suit, looking very distinguished, very conservative, and I'm not sure how to talk to him. So I thought, okay, if you don't know what to say, just be quiet, and I just minded my own business. Then I took out the prasadam, and it was samosas and kachoris, and he looked over. And he went like, "Excuse me, what kind of a religion are you?" And I'm like, "You want to try? You know? Come on." And he ate the samosa, and he took a book. So, I have not come here to teach. I came here to experience that moment that I have before I go on Sankirtan. You know, that little bit of excitement? Like, okay, what's it going to be? Are you up for it? Are you going to surrender or what? You know, and we look forward for that moment. Why? Because without surrender, what's the use? What's the point? Huh? We don't want to be spectators. We want to take part. So we come here to humbly ask you, to beg you, please carry Prabhupada's books with you, wherever you go. People are looking for this. They're waiting for this. I waited for my friend yesterday evening. I met a jazz musician from Tokyo who came to attend a friend's wedding. And he was sitting there in the lobby. And I approached him and I gave him Raja Vidya. And we talked. And he said, "I came here to try to get off the grid. I came here to try to get off of the busy, busy life that I'm leading. And now you come and you talk to me. And I think it's a sign of God. And I'm here for 3 days, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this book." The people are waiting. So let's not make them wait for too long. And we may wonder sometimes, is there hope for me? Because I feel in my own heart that there is this dryness. I'm feeling parched, like a desert. I was in Solapur in Maharashtra, and I was amazed. It took me out to a farm. And did you know that half of the pomegranates of India are grown in the Solapur area in Maharashtra? Most of the table grapes are grown in that area. It's a desert area. It's very dry and very hot. Now, how can they grow so much fruit in that area? Irrigation. They installed drip systems. In the same way, my heart, which is dry like a desert, which is aching, which is giving me pain on a regular basis, if I install a drip system, this Shravanadi Jal, you know, sprinkler system, which continuously sprinkles out nectar of Krishna Katha Satatam kirtayantomam yatantascha dridavrata namashyantascha mam bhakta nitya yukta upasate. This continuous hearing and chanting about Krishna Katha will actually turn a desert-like state into an oasis where beautiful things can grow, where wonderful Krishna bhakti can take root. So, Srila Prabhupada has touched the lives of countless people by his preaching, by his books, and by his devotees. Our humble prayer is that all of you, I know you're already doing it, I'm just stating the obvious, please become fountains of nectar. And whoever is in your circle of influence, you spread the nectar and you shower them with that Krishna Katha and you see those fruits and flowers flourish. And that is very, very pleasing. In Helsinki, I met a boy. He got Science of Self-Realization and he said that this is the best book I've ever read. And he's a photographer. He made it his project to look for Prabhupada's books in people's homes. He said in his own friends and families and his own circle, he has taken 90 pictures of people's libraries who have Prabhupada's books in them. 90 people. Now, how to make that transition from people who read the books till they're actually practicing? I took a night train from Kiev to Donetsk in Ukraine, and two strongly built men came up to me in the train, and one asked them, Krishnait? Like, are you a Hare Krishna? I wasn't so sure what to answer. I said, well, yeah, I guess I am. Yeah, Hare Krishna. And he said, thank you for giving this knowledge to all the people. Okay. You know when they have like thick necks, you know, shaved heads and these tight t-shirts and some tattoos. So then he talked and we had a little japa workshop there in the train on how to chant japa, and he bought more books. And then the devotee traveled me, he said, you have to give them prasadam. So I said, but I don't have any prasadam. We're on a night train. I don't eat at night and I don't carry prasadam. And then I remembered the devotees in Kiev are giving me this huge bag of Mahaprasad. So never refuse prasad. It might not be for you. You might only be the messenger, you know, who carries it to the person who needs it. So he was there with his wife, his mother, his son, and his friend. So they were in our next compartment. Went there, gave them the prasadam. They had bottles and unmentionable things there. And all of a sudden, samosas, cakes, sweet balls, everything manifested. And they were like, whoa, okay. Then we arrived in Donetsk. And it was raining. And it was 6 degrees. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but just above freezing. And I just came from India, where it was very hot. And the devotees weren't there, which is kind of a déjà vu. Krishna has his way, you know. He's just like, okay, let's make the guy wait a little bit and see how he reacts. See, wait, what else can you do? And after 10 minutes, they came and they brought a big garland, big red garland, like the one Prabhupada has now in white, but in red. And they gave me that garland. And just at that moment, the family came out of the train and the grandmother was carrying the little baby boy. And I took the garland, I put it around the neck of the boy. And he was like, whoa! And he was like prancing around like the king of the train station. And the grandmother was super happy and the family was ecstatic. And I told the man, we have a program tonight at the temple. And he came and he assisted for 3 hours in the full program. And after the program, he told me, now my family is convinced about Krishna consciousness. So it's great that we give people the books, but it's not enough. It's great that we give them prasadam, but it's not enough. We have to make ourselves accessible and available to the people. and to help them to take up the process of bhakti. Just like Prabhupada. Every day, his room was open for a couple of hours, and people could come in and sit and talk to him and ask him questions and just be with him and experience the presence of a sadhu. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy. Only a short moments of association with a sadhu can change a person's life forever. I have come here to take your association because I'm a traveler, a beggar, and the desert is long, and the road, the route through that desert is a long journey. But with the mercy of the stick of the Vaishnavas and with your blessings, we can hopefully make it. So I thank you very much for your patience and beg you, each and every one of you, for your blessings so we can become a useful servant of this mission of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. We have 5 minutes, I believe. Any questions or chastisements? Yes, Dhamma Harprabhu, please.
Haribol, first I want to thank you so much for coming here. We've so much enjoyed your last visit and just really, really appreciative. It's very, very inspiring. And I think one of the things that I always find inspiring about your speaking is it seems that you have such great faith. You know, you have that faith to go out and make yourself available, as you were saying, for the conditioned souls. And I know sometimes I feel some reluctance, you know, to have that kind of just be out there and just approach everybody. Can you tell us anything about what has helped you to develop that sort of confidence and faith to preach like that?
Thank you. Well, a lot of it comes with practice. I started out, I was 15 years old. And I didn't know how to deal with people. But just by being around other devotees and by, guess, trial and error, I pick things up. And I also try to learn something from every person I meet. Just now doing book distribution in Scandinavia. And I saw a man, he was at least 80 years old. He was standing in front of a 7-Eleven with Jehovah's Witnesses magazine. And he had a cane or a crutch. And every half hour or so, he had to sit down on the bench for like 10 minutes. And then he got up again and went back there. And I was thinking, man, you know, if he can do that, and what's he got, you know? I mean, I should be able to make it out here for a little while like that. In Mayapur, there's one lady, I don't even know her name, and I feel kind of embarrassed, but I still tell it. She has asked me personally at least 100 times to blight her flower garlands. She's the mala, you know, the garland lady. Have you seen her? She comes up to you and smiles, and she's got crooked teeth, you know, big crooked teeth, and she sticks that garland in front of you and asks you to buy a garland. And she's everywhere, you know, wherever there is something going on. Do you know her name?
I don't know her name.
Okay.
I know your name, though.
But you know who I mean.
She never gives up.
I refused her 100 times. And she's still smiling at me. And I'm like, hey, you know, if she can do that, I can, you know, it's not that difficult. It all depends on my expectation. If I have a set expectation, I will be disappointed. But Srila Prabhupada was ready to preach to the four walls, and he did it. He went to Moscow and met one professor who wasn't really the prime prospect for Krishna consciousness. But a seed was planted, and because of his burning desire, something happened. So I take great courage when I read Prabhupada Lilamrita, especially Volume 3, I believe it is. Prabhupada crying alone in the wilderness, just struggling and doing whatever he could in India and in New York and leaving no stone unturned and making the necessary adjustments to make Krishna conscious attractive and relevant and accessible to the people. That gives me great courage to overcome my own blocks and my own insecurities. And Srila Prabhupada told us we should learn from other movements. We can see what the Catholic Church is doing. The Mormons got 80,000 missionaries out there. 80,000 as we speak of now. Wow. Now we're a volunteer organization. We're not good at legislation. It's up to our own volition whether we want to do this. But when we see how our parampara is a parampara of compassion, of showing kindness and mercy to others. I was in Bali, just the last story, then I'll leave you. I was in Bali, not on the beach, but near the beach, on the road that goes near the beach. And I distributed a book to a young couple from the UK. And after they bought actually two books, I looked at them. And they look kind of scruffy, you know. They had a lot of metal in their face and tattoos. And Bali is a posh place. Holiday, family type of environment. So I asked them, what are you doing here? You don't seem to fit into this environment. And they said, you know what? We're on our way to Australia and to the South Sea. They're going to Antarctica to try to stop the Japanese from whaling, from killing the whales. What do? They take a boat and they go in between the hunters and the whale. That's pretty dangerous. You know, you can get killed. And it's pretty cold down there. They're ready to get killed for a bunch of fish. I mean, what am I ready to die for today? You know, they went up to Dadichi and they said, sorry, sir, we need your bones. Can you please step out of your body for a little while? You know, we just happen to need your body to do our job here. So they're ready to die for fish. He gave up his body for the greater cause. I have to give up my life at one point. You know, I'm a control freak. I'd rather do it voluntarily. At the end, I'll be forced. But if I learn the art of sweet surrender in small little increments, every time I ask somebody, excuse me, sir, are you a rock star or a regular loser or a happy human being? Or a happy rock star? Or whatever. Every time that I try to talk to people, I have to surrender a little bit. I have to give up a little bit of my own idea, of my own program. And that I find a very helpful way, at least for me, it has worked to some extent, to learn the art of sweet surrender. Because naturally speaking, I am not surrendering. I am not what you think I am. I have many, many qualities that are not at all conducive to bhakti. People ask me, what is your job? I say, I'm a professional fault finder. I go around and I find fault with people. You can call them teachers, you can call them coaches, you can call them whatever you want to call them. But it's difficult to practice bhakti because the devotees are outstanding. They're magnanimous souls. They have such a faith and such a dedication. And simply by associating with them and by taking blessings and guidance from them, can we aspire to get a glimpse of what is Krishna consciousness? So I thank you for your patience and for your kindness and your hospitality with me, that you allow me to again speak here, even though I may not exactly stick to the expectations. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.